All right, here we are, episode 3 of Tommy Points. We got Riley in the building, Dante in the building, and myself, Ev, episode number 3. This is, I guess, the first episode that we're looking at a real regular season game. We're going to be talking actual basketball. I know we talked a little preseason before, but now, you know, we'll get into it. We're going to talk about the Bucks, the Celtics versus Bucks opening night, actually happening tonight. And then the Christmas Day game against the Nets. But before all that, we are going to go through every fan question that we got, because we appreciate the listeners. We appreciate the numbers you guys are putting up. We're just three idiots talking Celtics basketball, and people love it. So,
hey, people want to tune in. We appreciate it.
For sure.
We appreciate it so much.
So, all right, let's get into the episode. All right, so hopefully everyone watching, listening, anything likes the little music intro we got.
That gets me so pumped up. That's going to get me so hyped up before every episode now. It's just going to like get me so going for this episode. I love that intro, man. Love it. It was a matter of time before we added a little Tommy broadcasting into here.
Yeah. Did you guys see we got our first dislike on last episode?
Yeah.
We were waiting for that.
Of my Grant Williams take, that's why.
People, honestly, I'm surprised. Like, I thought I was in the minority, and at least by the comments we got on the episode on Twitter and that clip, people aren't feeling Grant Williams lately.
Listen, I mean, Grant, I thought Grant Williams was a fan favorite. I thought more people would be on my side with my take. Listen, you want to disagree with me? That's fine. We'll just see how Grant Williams plays this year. Then we'll see who's right.
I think that could be a running thing here, because I'm on those people's side. But the difference, and I don't mean to get into that whole segment again, but the difference is I want Grant Williams to be the guy that everyone thinks he is. So we'll see. But all right, we got a plethora of questions today, guys. We got 22, I think, about 22. And, you know, just for everyone listening and watching, I guess can preface it saying we probably got some duplicate sort of questions and answers. But I figure because it's our last preseason episode, we give everyone the time of day here. I know last episode we didn't get to every single question, so we're doing our damn surest to get to every one of the questions sent in today. So first one coming in is right here. Mo Mohammed, awesome name, by the way, says, I worried, or he's pretty much saying, should he be worried about the Celtics after seeing those preseason games? What do you guys think?
I think to start the season, you should be worried, especially with Kemba and Thompson out. You just don't have many scorers right now, and the team just doesn't look great. I know it's only been 2 preseason games, but it's just, I'm worried about it.
I feel like we almost saw enough to be maybe worried. Not the, you know, it sounds like we're like cowarding, like under our desk, like yeah. Like our expectations shouldn't be too high.
I have zero expectations going into the first 2 games of the year. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't worried. I guess we want to use that word. I mean, if the offense looks anything, if the team in general looks anything like they did in the first 2 preseason games, I mean, they're going to be awful when the season starts, right? I mean, Brad Stevens said it. They do not look anything like a preseason. They do not look anything like a playoff team right now. They're not anything like they were in the bubble. It's going to take some time for them to like just pick it up and just get everyone healthy. So would I be worried a little bit, but it's not like it's going to be a short-term thing. Like they'll be fine in the long run, but it'll suck at first.
I agree. So if we're looking at that, like I said, we got some similar questions. So we're going to try and group them together to keep us, I guess, on topic here. But so Tom O'Shea says, should there be concerns at this point with the poor offense? So he's asking a similar question about worried, like based on what we've seen. I think we can all agree the offense looked a little bit shaky in both games. You know, if you exclude Jeff Teague kind of going off in that first game, you're not looking at, and I guess Pritchard too, you're not looking at anything really like inspiring about this offense so far. What do you guys think, you know, offensive side of the ball specifically, concerned? So we're teetering the line here. We got the word worried. I don't mean to be semantical, but we have worried, concerned. Like, What do we think?
Yeah, I mean, to me personally, I think what I'm most nervous about, I'll use the word nervous here, so we'll change it up a little bit. It makes me nervous that Marcus Smart is going to have to be relied on to be the third scoring option on this team. Because when he's starting, it's obvious, it's Tatum, Brown, and then who's the next guy up? Yep. Marcus Smart, right? It's probably going to be Marcus. Yeah, that terrifies me because, yes, I love Marcus Smart, he's one of my favorite players, but he has the tendency to shoot a lot of bad shots. He said that he wants to be a smarter shooter this year. He wants to take better shots, which he needs to. He is at his best when he's finding his open teammates, he's driving, and he's taking open looks. No more stepping into contested threes, no more chucking shots. If he can do that, I'm fine with it. It just makes me nervous thinking that he is going to be shooting a lot more now that he's going to be the third option going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm basically the same way. It's ask Jason and Jalen, like, we don't really have any scorers. Like, to go beyond what Dante said, like, who's our fourth scoring option? Like, behind Marcus Smart. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, Devontae Green in the starting lineup. Like, yeah, I mean, you know honestly, what I mean?
So, that's not really. Need some guys to step up and put something they haven't shown us yet.
So, I guess, you know, not to rapid fire through these, but we got a few that are very similar. So, here you kind of mentioned that. Too proud to be. Says, where are the points going to come from? How do we get 100 to 100 points as a team, or 110? I don't even know if that's enough in today's NBA. Like, if the Celtics just score 100 points a game, they're not
losing. Yeah, I mean, the Warriors last night had 100 and they lost by 25, 26 to the Nets. Yeah, so,
exactly. So where do the points come from? Exclude Brown, exclude Tatum, and then even exclude Smart. And, you know, we have another similar question coming up, but where the hell do those points come from?
That's a great question. Too proud to be. I hate to say it because they're not that great. The bench, we don't have the best bench in the world, but we're gonna have to rely on a lot of guys coming off the bench to score. I mean, Teague, obviously, Pritchard, he's gonna have to play some good minutes now that Kemba's gonna be out for a while. Neesmith, I know, like, it might be a little bit before he actually starts making a big impact, but he's gonna have to be relied on. It's gonna be an all around effort. I mean, yeah, it's like, really gonna be. It really
they don't
is.
Have. They don't have the, and they were blessed last year when we look back on it. They don't have the fourth option scoring 17 points. You know what I mean?
And that, but yeah.
I think I said in one of these previous episodes too, I do think, you know, it's gonna get dispersed elsewhere. But if we exclude Tatum and Brown, and obviously like a healthy Kemba, then that's where you sort of get like, okay, well, where else? You know. Mm-hmm.
Because if you have Kemba, that's another 20 point per game score. So, like, that's fine. But it's like, you have to look at it now to begin the season at least. Kemba's gone, Hayward's gone. That's 37, 38 points that you're leaving on the table. Like, you got to make up for that somehow.
And Brad Stevens saying Kemba's like nowhere near coming back, that, or he's got a long way to go. That is a kick in the you know what.
I'm starting to think that he isn't going to be back until like April time, March, April. I'm really starting to think that not only are they're going to take it easy with him, but I think it's bad enough where he's actually going to have to sit out that long. Like, awful.
It's going to be tough. All right. So Nicholas here is asking a similar question. He says there still seems a major concern when the Jays aren't in. Brad's going to have to mix his starters with bench guys consistently. What can be done to ensure there's some scoring during the rough stretches of bench play? I think, you know, Riley, Dante, you guys probably agree with what we already talked about too. Like, need that bench to sort of step it up. We need Teague, Pritchard, Neesmith, hopefully. But one thing you mentioned earlier, Riley, is that, or I think it might have been you, Dante, if Smart, you know, is coming off the bench, then that almost solves this problem. But can they get to that point? I don't know.
Yeah. You know, one of the luxuries they had last year with having, you know, the big four, I guess you can say, where Hayward is, no matter what, you could have always had one of those guys on the floor, Kemba, Jalen, Jason, or Hayward. Like, you could have always kept one of those guys in if their offense was struggling. One of those guys can put the ball in the basket. Now it's a little tricky because we don't have Kemba, we don't have Hayward, just Jalen and Jason. And it's a little harder to be always having to keep one of those guys in. I think that Brad Stevens is going to have to play those guys a ton of minutes, especially Tatum, just trying to keep them on the floor as much as they can, especially with those bench guys, because when those guys are off the court, I mean, we can try to like hope that Jeff Teague scores a lot, but at the same time, it's like we're gonna need one of those two guys in for most of the game at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he's gonna have to, and somehow Brad Stevens even did it last year. Like, I love Brad Stevens, but I do always, my biggest take on Brad Stevens, I don't know if you guys are in the same boat, is that I think he feels like super comfortable here and like he's not going anywhere, which is fine. Like, I don't want him to go anywhere, but I've always said, you know, when a team's going on like a 30-0 run and he's just sitting there like,
yeah, watching, yeah, show some emotion,
like, you know, it's, yeah. And I don't think he does that very often. I don't, like, people, you know, tweet at me like, fire Brad Stevens, he sucks, blah, blah, blah. No, not true. There's not a better option out there right now. Don't fire him. But it would be nice if he had the, like, the 1% of I got a coach for my job feeling. And I don't know if we get that out of him. But what I'm getting at here, sorry, ricochet shot at Brad Stevens, is that even last year with 4 superstars, somehow he would figure out a time in the game to have none of them on the court.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're limited without Kemba to 2 stars on your team. And all of a sudden, if Brad Stevens struggled having all 1 of the 4 on the court last year, I'm a little, you know, like, anxious, yeah, of what could happen.
I'm with just you there. 2 guys. I'm with you there. He's got to figure, yeah, it out. He's got to mix and match. I mean, the beautiful thing is about this beginning of the season is that there are going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in the same boat. He's going to have to experiment with a ton of lineups, just see what works best, who works well with each other. They're going to have, you know, it's a 72-game year. They're going to have plenty of time to just figure everything out at first, and then it'll all sort itself out once everyone's healthy. Hopefully, when everyone's healthy.
Yeah. All right, Riley, I'm going to ask you this one specifically, then Dante, I'll go to you. So this is assuming, the one I'm popping up now, this one's coming in from Topaz Fox. So I think I've seen interact with the show on Twitter a couple times now, so shout out. He says, or she, I'm not sure, says, Kemba sits out 20 games. What will be our record? Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown look very inconsistent preseason. It's a worry to me, but I'm really focusing on that 20 games. So now assume Kemba's out for 20 games. It could even be more. Who knows? But Riley, maybe guess, what do you think the record would be 20 games based on what you've seen so far? And then also, you know, playing the game here that Kemba's out for 20 games.
With Kemba being out and from what I've seen so far, 20 games, I'd probably go 12-8. 13-7. It really all just depends on Tatum and Brown. Like, yeah, if they're hot, we could go, you know, 15-5. If they're off, we can go, you know, 8-12. Like, I think it's, you know, a big swing with how well they do. But after them, it's just kind of up in the air.
It's like the theme of every question we have so far. And that's not the best, that we're like, oh, we have Tatum, Brown, and then maybe like 2.5 version, you know, Tatum, Brown, and then half smart, like, to root for here. But I don't know. Dante, what do you think? 20 games.
I was asked this question. I did a Q&A on my Twitter account yesterday, and they asked me what I think the Celtics record would be through the first 20 games. I actually guessed 13-7 because they have the Bucks, Nets to start. I think that's going to be rough. But then they play teams like, they play the Pacers twice, the Pistons. The Wizards are going to be pretty decent, but the Heat, they play a few times, the Magic, the Bulls, like, I think the Knicks, I mean, they're going to play a handful of teams that they should beat. They're not going to look the best, I think, in the first 20 games, but I think they'll be able to rack up at least like double digit wins, I'd say, but I'd say 13-7.
Yeah, I think I go, and this is coming from someone that didn't look at the schedule, so the research here is a par on my end, but I would say, just based on like the number, and I guess thinking percentage wise, trying to sound smarter than I am, I would probably go with like 12-8 with Kemba being out. But it's all dependent on, like you said, Riley, all dependent on Tatum and Brown. If Jason Tatum is playing like a top 10, you know, or less player, like a top 8 player in this league, like, the Celtics can beat anybody. The Nets team, yeah, we saw last night, if he's playing like a Kevin Durant, it's just like, If Tatum can take that leap and do that, we've seen him do it against other teams too, where it's like, oh, we're playing the Lakers or the Clippers, will get on my back because we're not losing this game. If that's the Tatum that we get for the first 20 games without Kemba, I'm really not worried. Like, Kemba will just be added gravy when he comes back after this hypothetical 20 games.
And keep in mind too, like, Kemba missed a lot of games last year, and during that stretch of games he was out, that's when Tatum really like rose to stardom. So, and the Celtics were still good. So if Tatum can, you know, bring that back, and Jaylen can step up more than he did last year, they could be fine. I mean, it's obviously hypothetical. It's like, if they do that, that's what they have to do, but like, it could happen.
Now you say it could happen, do you think it will happen?
Yes, I do think Jaylen and Jason are each going to make steps this year in their own regards, and I think that they'll both be able to handle that load, that role that they're gonna have. Yeah,
you want to similar boat, Riley.
Yeah.
What it comes down to is the Celtics' success comes down to Jalen and Jason. It comes down to whether or not you believe that they can be the two guys on the team. And if you believe that, then I believe it. So, and that's how it
is. Based on these questions so far, it probably so far has sounded like, oh, geez, we're screwed because we have just Jalen and Jason, just the way we've answered these questions.
But it's not a bad problem. We have Jalen and Jason. Yeah.
That's okay. I'm cool with that. All right, here we go. Now we're getting into some more of the meat and potatoes here rather than just, are you scared about this team? This is a great question. It's coming in from my man from Z Celtics. He says, and I'll just paraphrase, it's a little long. He says, young talent and potential is great, but when, in our opinions, is it time to say, okay, you know, let's win now, let's add some vets, let's pretty much fill the holes on this team rather than drafting a bunch of young guys? I think it's a great question because I think for the past few years, obviously the Celtics have been like, oh, let's get these young guys, let's take a million picks in the draft, let's do this. Sneaky, obviously, they went for Hayward, they got him, they went for Kemba, they got him. Like, they have been adding the vets, but, you know, I think this is the first year, and this is sort of my answer to it, that they finally said, okay, you know, Jeff Teague, Tristan Thompson, like, let's go get a little bit of experience on this team. So where do you guys think that sort of full swing, like, hey, we have what we need, now we build on it, rather than trying to find a core piece through the draft? Because I think that's what they've done the past few years.
Yeah, I think they're kind of trending in that direction now, where they're kind of going towards more like signing veterans and drafting guys. I mean, last year, they had four draft picks. They had two firsts and two seconds, or they had three firsts and they traded to the second, or whatever. They had four picks. I was like, the entire way, I was like, there's no way they have four rookies. I was like, that is just too much. This year, they had three picks. They took two and they had one overseas. Mm-hmm. It gets to a point where it's like, yeah, like, you want to get young guys to try to build around, like, add to the core. But then you have to look, like, we have a pretty good core as it is right now, right? So it's like, how many more guys do we really need, like, young guys? Like, I feel like we're getting to a point now where we don't need all these first-round picks. Just use your money. Go get veterans for cheap contracts. Like, Thompson's only making $9 million a year. I mean, not for nothing. He could probably make more somewhere else. $9 million is a steal. Jeff Teague, I don't think he's making too much. I think it's just really the minimum, or a little above the minimum. It's like, you know, go after guys like that, because guys like that are more useful than rookies. And it's like, rookies, you can hope that they turn into something, mm-hmm. but for the Celtics, on their case, like, a lot of the times it doesn't work out. So maybe it might be time to go in the other direction, which I think they're starting to do.
I think we're focused on the wrong young guys. I feel like we should be focusing on Tatum and Brown and then building around them.
Just compliment them.
Yeah, other than having three or four rookies or young guys on the bench, you know, every year, just to hopefully they develop. Like, we've already seen Brown, we've already seen him, and give them other pieces to work with. Like,
yeah, and I'm saying, like, going back to what I said about, you know, not every draft pick hits. Look at the draft from last year. We had four picks, and the only guy that's really doing much is Grant Williams. Romeo Langford's hurt. Carson doesn't play. Tremont is a G League. Like, he was great in the G League, but he's not on the.
Even saying, yeah, like, doing much, it's kind of even like,
yeah, so it's just like, and Grant Williams is the only guy out of that doing anything, and I'm not doing saying anything. He's doing a great thing, but he's doing something out compared to all of them. So it's just like, was it really worth it? Like, I know, like, there might not have been a great trade out there for three first round picks, but, like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I mean, Riley, I think you bring up a really good point too. And you not saying that you said this word, but why are they still searching for the young guys? Like, they have Brown. Stop trying to hit with, and I like Neesmith, I like Pritchard, but stop trying to get these absolutely crucial guys that could be part of this team long term. You know, they could have gotten a Teague, Thompson, they could have looked to get, you know, one or two more of those type of guys. Mm-hmm. Look at all throughout last year, like, they could have added someone like that. So, like, the search should be off for in my mind, for the young guys. And all of a sudden, like, I think right now, and we're all kind of, you know, saying the same thing, that this is the turning point. And I think we started to see that with Teague and Thompson. So I'm hoping that's the case.
I agree. I agree with both of you there.
All right. This one is coming in from Hugh Foster. I don't know if it's just me, but I love the names that we're getting here. Like, yeah, that's probably this guy's real name. And I just love
Hugh Foster. Sounds like a stud.
Yeah. Just a great name. All right. Hugh Foster says, is this the roster that we have now? Is this the roster that we have at the end of the season? You know, and it's an interesting question, because if you were to ask me this last year, and I think we'll preface this by saying, like, any biggest changes. Like if they get an absolute nobody, some like young, another young guy or something, I wouldn't say that. But anyone that's actually going to make an impact, if you were to ask me this at the beginning of last year, I'd be like, no way. There's so many flaws in this team that they got to go out and fix. Mm-hmm. And they didn't exactly do it. So Riley, I guess I'll send it off to you first. And then Dante, is this the roster that we're looking at now, the same roster by year's end?
Boy, I hope not. But I really have no idea. I think this team needs more to be able to compete for a championship.
Yeah, Dante.
Yeah, I hope not. I do believe that. I have a feeling that this is going to be the roster that we're going to see, because I really think just the way Danny Ainge is, like, I think he's really just going to wait for Kevin to come back, and he's going to think like that's going to fix a lot of the issues. But I don't see them making a major move. If they were to make a move, it would be like just like a bench, like getting a bench player, like someone like that. It wouldn't be a major thing. They do have the trade exception. I know we've talked about this before. They could absolutely use that. If it's like they really need someone else, they could use that. I personally think that they should just hold off until the offseason to make a big move, like using that trade exception. But I hope they do make some types of moves during the year, just little things to help the team out.
Yeah, I think the combo of you guys have really talked me into the idea, and I love it now, of gauging Kemba's knee, figuring out what it is, and
I'm telling using you,
that trade player that, except, like I think I said it, like, don't just blow it because you have it, you know what I mean? Like,
you have it for a year, might as well, like, hold on to it. It's like, there's so much uncertainty. Like, after this upcoming year, there'll be many more answers to questions that we have, like, where players will be, like situations, who's going to be free agents and stuff. It's like, now things are more clear, so you know where you can go with that. And like I said, if Kemba's actually really like long-term lingering knee issue, that's what you got to use that for a point guard. So that's what I would do.
Yeah, I hope it's not them with both of you. I hope it's not the roster. No,
I hope it is. Yeah, I agree.
All right, here we go. So Imposter says, do you guys think this roster could compete for a championship? And then if not, should we make the move for James Harden? So we'll take this two at a time. Just yes or no from you guys. This roster right now, is it a championship caliber team?
I'm going to say, all right.
Wait, I'm gonna is Kemba? Say,
yeah, so is healthy Kemba, are we going?
Yeah. Let's do that. By the end of the year, we're where we want to be with guys in this team, not injuries, no guys that are healthy right now got injured, knock on wood, that type of thing.
Jeez. I'm going to say yes. And the reason why I say yes is because I think we've talked about this before. Look at the playoff roster from last year compared to now. It's really no different. We replaced Wanamaker with Teague, Cantor with Thompson, and Hayward wasn't there during the playoffs. So it's like, how good were we during the playoffs? And then we add on who we added on this offseason. We were two games away from the finals last year. Who says that? I mean, do I think we're miles better than last year? No, I'm not saying that, but I don't think we talked about this. I don't think we got worse. I still think we're contenders. I think we can absolutely still compete for a championship.
Yeah. At this point, it's barely, but I would say yes as well.
I think the only bit that makes me more hesitant is that I do think teams around the Celtics compared to last year got a little bit better.
The top six teams in the East is going to be a crazy like playoff matchups, like that we're going to see Bucks, Heat, Celtics, Nets, Philly, Raptors. Like, those are six really good teams. So
it's just a little bit of hesitation. Like, I do think a healthy Kemba is, you know, put them up with any of those teams, you know. So
I agree. It's going to be whoever makes out of the East is going to deserve it. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. Sure. The second part of this question, I need you guys. So I don't know why I don't want to, but I keep going back and forth on the idea of James Harden. I need you guys to somehow talk me off the ledge. Like, explain to me why it would just be stupid to bring in James Harden, other than it would take a lot to get him. Because I think that's probably the one thing that I'm like, I wouldn't want him because it would take a lot. But I see some people throwing things out there about James Harden being a loser, or he can't stay out of a strip club, he can't do this. He's still filthy to me. I'm not saying I want him, but he's so filthy with a strip club. I just put that together, no pun intended. But like, he is so good. And in a vacuum, like, I don't see how if you had to give up nothing and get him and he's committed to stay long term, like, I think you take him. But there's so many people out there that are like, just screw James Harden. And I want to be in that boat. Like, I want to be like, oh, no, I don't even want James Harden. But I'm missing the why is he such a cancer argument.
I'll just start with this, because I've talked about James Harden a lot. With people going back and forth saying he should come to Boston. Look what he's doing in Houston. Mm-hmm. People are talking, it's whatever James wants. Since he's been in Houston, it's been all about him. He, in my opinion, is not a team player. He has not proved to be a team player. I think he focuses on individual statistics. I feel like he just focuses on what's best for him. I mean, look what he might not even play in the opener tonight because he was out at a strip club without a mask. The guy, he's careless. You know what I mean? It's just and you think about, you look at it that way. I mean, what he's doing to the Rockets, the head coach, he's a brand new head coach, and he's putting this guy through hell. The guy doesn't have a star player. Like, he's like, they're asking him all these questions, where is he? And he's like, I have no idea. Like, is that someone you want on a roster? That, too, the whole staying. He has 2 years left on his contract. This was a whole thing with Anthony Davis. Let's get Anthony Davis. Oh, he might not stay, blah, 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 blah. And if he leaves, we're screwed because we just traded whatever it is. If we want to get Harden, we're going to have to trade Jaylen Brown. That's like the only way it's going to happen. Like, people need to understand there's no way we keep Tatum and Brown to get Harden. Like, that's just unrealistic. It's just not going to happen. So if we trade away Brown, who's starting the 4-year extension for a guy that has 2 years left and leaves, what position does that put us in? Like, yeah, we still have Tatum, but Tatum might be pissed off that we made that move, and he might want to leave after a certain amount, after his contract is up. I wouldn't mind Harden if he committed to playing in a team role and he understood that it's not all about him, that he has Tatum. Like, Tatum can do his thing. It's not just about him. I don't think that's going to happen. So that's why I said I don't want him. That's the only instance where I would, but it wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. I just can't see it working. So no to James Harden.
Yeah. No, I think Harden is a toxic player. I think he's a selfish player.
Yeah.
I think we need a guy who can score 35 a night and has never won a championship. I mean, Jaylen Brown's been to what, 3 Eastern Conference Finals? Mm-hmm. I think Harden's been to like 5 or 6 Western Conference Finals. Like, he's not really a winner. He's just a scorer.
And it's not like I'm not saying in any way, like, I wouldn't trade Jaylen for Harden because I think Jaylen's better. Like, Harden is a top 5 player in the NBA. Like, I'm not disputing that. It's just, you have to look at fit. Like,
yeah.
Plays on a Rocket where he played under Mike D'Antoni, where literally was all offense, no defense, and he's going to play for Brad Stevens night and day. And I just don't think that he can do that.
So good. I think you've talked me. I think, like I said, I just don't, especially because of this. This is, I think, my biggest point. And I tweeted it out yesterday, and some people were disagreeing. Some people agreed, though. Why bring in, you know, Dante, you say top 5 player in the NBA, but you could lock him in as definitely a top 10 player, Harden, obviously. Why bring in a top 10 player in the NBA if you are expecting Tatum, you know, within a matter of months to become a top 10 player in the NBA? Yeah. You mm-hmm. get Harden's, you know, what he would do for your team in through Tatum without having to give up anything, because you're mm-hmm. hoping Tatum becomes that guy. And then, you know, you want Brown's leap too. So I think we're all in a similar boat. Like I said, I was just teeter tottering with the idea, mm-hmm. but it always came back to, you know, if we have to give up Jaylen Brown, that's not a good swap for me, because I just can't picture Tatum and Harden playing together. And then, you know,
yeah, I just can't see it happening. I legitimately just can't see it happening. I really can't.
And then someone tweeted me the picture of like Harden when he averaged 11 assists or something. And it's like, those literally, like, 7 of those assists are when he needed 7 assists to get a triple double. Yeah, and he would just, his teammates would do it. Like, he, I don't know. I think
one of the biggest things is people are just looking at the name and the value, and they're looking at the numbers and shit. And it's like, sure, we want that on the Celtics, but at the same time, it's like, you got to look beyond the stats and the name. You got to look at the situation, how he plays. It's not how the Celtics play basketball, and it just won't work. So,
agreed. All right, this one's coming in from Tatum Superstar Season, says, do you believe our depth is enough to match up with other contenders? I'll just say, no, our depth isn't enough, but our top 3 or 4 players could be enough if firing on all cylinders. That's my answer to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think our bench, did it get a little better than last year? I would say so. But it's still like one of the weaker benches in the NBA. And like you said, we're top heavy. And that's what kind of makes me nervous, is that when those top guys aren't shooting well, that's what or injured will suffer, right? So it's just like, yeah, we do need to add some more depth. I want to get rid of some of the younger guys. I've said the Semi Carson Edwards. I'm sorry, guys. Like,
I
could do without you, seriously. Like, go drop them, pick up Ersan Ilyasova. Like, the dude's old, but he can shoot. He's a veteran. He knows the ins and outs of basketball. I'd rather have him sitting at the end of the bench than Carson Edwards, personally. Make moves like that. I don't know.
Riley, after hearing Dante say that, can you answer this question?
Is Danny Ainge a supporter?
Yeah, so the question is Matt Dingler. I'm telling you, these names are awesome. Great name. Says, why do the Celtics, just for people not watching and listening, says, why do the Celtics keep so many bums on the bench?
Good. That's actually
a question. It is. It's really worded, obviously, but it's legitimately an issue.
It is. It's like, whenever I see Semi Ojeleye on the floor, I literally just want to, like, rip my hair out. Every single game I see him in there, I'm just like, you're not doing anything. Like, you're meant to be playing defense. You're meant to be hitting open threes. I'm not saying he's a good defender. Like, that's what he's been good at.
I even think his defense is overrated because he stopped Giannis one time.
His defense is overrated because he showed up in his first, the first time he was in the playoffs, and he did very well. And then since then, people have hyped him up as the best defensive player in the Celtics. And he's good, but he's not the best. he really isn't. He's not worth 15 minutes a game. I'm sorry.
And we saw briefly some lineups. Go ahead.
It's crazy that Semi might be our fourth option.
Stop. Don't give me nightmares. All right. Stop. In the afternoon yet. All right. I'm trying to have a good day.
I mean, the crazy thing is there's lineups where we see Semi and Grant Williams in together. And I know you're a Grant Williams guy, but Dante, they kind of cross over a little bit in terms of what they.
I'm not going to argue with you there. Semi and Grant Williams on the court together spells disaster. I won't debate that.
If you're going to have one physical, like, guarding a guy that's probably a little bit taller than him.
And this is why I want Grant Williams starting, because he can play next to the good guys and not have to play next to guys like Semi Ojeleye and them. That's why I'm saying he'll be better off playing again with those guys and coming off the bench with those guys. That's where, like, there comes from too.
You're chipping away at my Grant Williams dislike. I don't think, like, I'm telling you, got a lot of layers to go through before I'm kind of on
out of the hole slowly.
Yeah. I don't know if you're going to get there, but you do bring up valid points. Here we go. This one's coming in from Wayne Breezy, and he says, will Carson Edwards make the roster? They signed him. He was like a weird deal, you know.
He was one of the first round picks to actually sign like a full contract. Yeah. No, he's on the roster. I'm not happy he is. I mean, like, I really liked him when he was coming out of college. He had a crazy NCAA tournament, hit 7 or 8 threes against the Cavs that one preseason game. Yeah. And then gave us all the hope in the world, and then since then has done nothing.
He stinks, right?
He stinks. Yeah. He's too undersized. If he was taller, I'd say, okay, we can, like, work them, give him more shots and stuff. How tall is he? Like 6 feet? Not even? There's no way he's 6 feet, right?
No, can't.
I'm gonna look it up right now. But the point is, he's short, his shot isn't consistent. It goes back to what I said. They're better off getting someone else, like a veteran or someone like that. He's 5'11", 200. So,
but he's not even the 200, I believe. He's kind of built, but yeah, I don't know.
His calves are huge. His quads are huge.
Yeah. What I'll say about him, I don't even know if it's his fault that he just stinks now. I think that he's the type of college guy that needed to come in and just play and get into this NBA rhythm. And now it's too late. Like,
if he was drafted to a different team where he had more of an opportunity, I think he'd be better off. Unfortunately, he got drafted to a team that was a championship playoff contender, and he really got stuck behind a few guys. So he never really got a chance, unfortunately. But what can you do? And then on this team, you have to prove that you earn a spot early on. And if you don't, you're just going to get lost in the shuffle, which happened to him, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, out of that draft last year, the fact that Grant Williams is the only thing,
you know what's crazy? I never thought about that until when we just talked about this. I didn't think about how out of those four guys, Grant Williams is really the only one that has done anything for the Celtics.
Seriously. And he hasn't even conquered everything. You know what I mean? He still has his haters.
Like, we got four rookies out of the 60 picks. I'm not good at, what is that, 25%? That's 25% of the rookie. Oh, what? I don't know what it is. I'm not good at math. The point is, they got a ton of rookies, and they get the got getting nothing out of it, really. Like, that's why. Stop with the drafting. Go to free agency. Get the old guys. We don't need any more young guys.
I mean, Grant Williams, that is such a, like even, like, already that this past draft looks better than last year's draft. Mm. And we've seen preseason games. Mm-hmm.
Like,
it doesn't pump up this draft to me. That shit on last year's draft to me.
Yeah, it makes last year's draft look worse than it does make this draft look better. Yeah, I agree.
Even still, like, these guys have already done more. Other than that one game, was it preseason or summer league that Carson Edwards dropped like 40 points in?
That was preseason. Yeah.
Other than that, like,
yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you.
All right, here we go. We got, this is a duplicated question, but anytime Sean's going to give us a question or anything, we're giving him a shout out here. Very much involved with the show. So shout out to Palmer Guy Boston. He says, what are your thoughts on people comparing the potential Harden trade to the KG trade? You didn't want to give up Al Jefferson, and look what happened. I think he's right saying Harden is no KG, but he's also, the people that are saying you didn't want to give up Al Jefferson and look what happened are also right, because we don't know the other end of this Harden trade necessarily, but there were people out there that were in that boat, like, oh no, we don't want to give up the young, good big man, and look where it got them. So where do you guys come out on this?
I mean, this is pretty, you actually, Riley, you go first. You were just moving your lips. I'll let you talk.
I think it was a different scenario. I think the Celtics really needed a big man at that time, like a veteran big man, you know, like KG, the one. Comes to Harden, that you just don't see how he fits.
My thing on this, and it's the only difference here, and I know Dante, you're gonna go, but let me just get this in there, is that Paul Pierce wanted to leave. Like, they had a superstar that was not disgruntled, because I think that kind of like puts a little shame on his name type of thing, but he wanted to leave if they couldn't build around him. So they were almost, their hand was forced to give up the young guy and go get a veteran. It turned out to be the best thing to ever happen. But I don't think we're in a situation where Tatum's like, if you guys don't get Harden, peace.
Yeah, I that's an interesting question, because I never looked at it from that I actually have never even heard that people are comparing it to the KG trade. So that's why I think that's pretty interesting. It's all about how you look at it. Do you think, how do you compare Al Jefferson to Jaylen Brown to the importance of the Celtics? Like, you traded Al Jefferson for KG, right? Like, and obviously you look back on that, like, that's an easy trade. But then it's like, was Al Jefferson more valuable? Was he valuable, just as valuable to the Celtics at the time as Jaylen Brown is right now? I don't think so.
He was the young guy, but he was not
Jaylen. Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, and plus, it wasn't just Al Jefferson. It was Al Jefferson and like 5-6 other guys too. Like, they had to like gut their roster to get him, right? But it's just like, Harden is no KG. He's not the one of the, you know, a hard-nosed player that plays his heart out every game and like wants to lead a team to a championship. Like, that was KG. Like, he was heart and soul of whatever team he was on. Harden is not that. So, not the same thing to me. Apples and oranges.
All-time players, James Harden really isn't even sniffing KG's jockstrap.
How dominant KG was, and his, like, when he was in Minnesota before he came to Boston, he was a freaking animal, like, unbelievable,
hustling things that show up off the stat sheet, everything.
Man, one of the best power forwards of all time, and people really don't, like, I mean, we talk about him because he was a Celtic and he's a legend, we love him, but like, I feel like people don't really like respect Kevin Garnett as much as he was, as great as he was. Like, he was just an amazing player, but another topic for another day.
This one's coming in from Scott. He says, we have all these great names, and then we just get the first name, Scott. Like the name. Who takes Gordon's spot in the lineup? And there's another question, too. I'll pop it up right here, because I think we're just going to answer a similar thing. But let's see. I'll pop it up. But pretty much is this one's coming in from Zeebo, saying, who takes that small forward position if Tatum goes and plays power forward? So pretty much I think we're getting at, like, you know, without the clear cut, like, oh, Gordon Hayward's the three, which I think you would assume Jason Tatum's the four by then. Who becomes that sort of third player in the lineup, or three spot in the lineup?
I think to start the season, it'd probably be Grant Williams. My hope is by the end of the season, I know this might be a little far-fetched, but that it's Aaron Nesmith. He really breaks out and has a great year and just could be a solid shooter for us at the three.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really just with you on that. It's, my opinion, it should be Grant, I know Javonte Green started the first two preseason games. I kind of think that's a sign that he is going to start. I don't really like it. I'm not the biggest fan of it. I think it could be worse, but I'm not a biggest fan of it because he's not a high impact player. Like he's a good role player. Like he knows his role. Like he won't step on anyone's toes. Like he'll do what he has to do, but it's not like you can count on him to do a whole lot of things. And like you said, at the end of the year, I would really like Nesmith to be in the starting lineup as that small forward, because I think that he will become good enough where he can start alongside Brown and Tatum, and he can have that role of just playing alongside them, shooting open shots, and that'll be the most ideal thing for the Celtics by the end of the year.
I do want to say one thing about Javonte Green. He is the best dunker on the Celtics.
Yeah.
No, maybe even in the league. Like,
sure, that could, I don't know that. Like, if you look at him, crazy.
Contest that would be sick.
So you bring up his dunking too. That's the first thing, like, you know, I would jump to his athleticism. That's perfect for a seventh or eighth man that can come in, do something like that, and it's all of a sudden like, whoa, let's win this game. Like, we're pumped up now.
High energy player.
Yeah, like that's.
I've been wanting to see that, but
he's gotten better with his shot too. Brad Stevens says he's become a better shooter, and he's shooting the ball a little bit more, and he's not just driving. So if he can shoot, if he can hit 1 3 a game, 2 threes a game, maybe, I'll take that. I'll definitely take it.
I've always loved the like player that's counted out and had to grind to get where he is, and he definitely is that. No one gave a crap about Javonte Green, then he literally won a roster spot last year.
He deserved it. Yeah.
And now, even still, like, I know he started, he didn't do much. I don't think he did anything to say, like, oh, Javonte Green sucks. He's out of his element. You know what I mean? Like, he still was just.
He's just good for what he does. He doesn't do anything bad. He doesn't do a lot, but that's not his role. His role isn't to do a lot. So that's why.
So, like, let me ask you guys this on the same topic, talking about, you know, if Grant Williams gets to play, because if Grant Williams is in the starting lineup, I don't know if Tatum's technically the four, you know what I'm saying? Like, he probably would get to be more of the wing player. So, but if they go with Nesmith or anyone like that, then all of a sudden you are saying, like, Tatum, you're the four. How do you guys feel about Jason Tatum being a four? I know we're in a positionless time, but you'd have to probably most likely cover the other team's four, which, assuming they might have a more legitimate power forward, is there any issue there? Do you think we're just past the point of like, oh, a power forward's a big man?
I mean, I'm fine with it personally, because like, he's, I mean, from what Brad Seamus said, I don't know how much of it was a joke. I mean, if he's 6'10 now, I mean, he's definitely got the height, the muscles there. I mean, you can definitely tell the kid's adding pounds, right? He said he added like 10, 20 pounds since the bubble ended, which is crazy. But obviously that's something that's going to keep being added on. I think he's building himself up where he can hold himself. Well, he can hold down at the fourth spot. I have no issue with that whatsoever. No.
Yeah. Riley, same for you.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. And I kind of want to see it also, like, you know, two things I wanted to see about from Jason Tatum this year was working better on his court vision and then getting better as a defender. And so I think playing the four and playing bigger man would help him do that.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Like you put that too, because if that's another thing, and I think we've all said it similar times on these episodes, is that if this happens, then the Celtics take a bigger leap than you'd think. If Jason Tatum can cover true like power forwards, like picture a KG for the example we were just talking about, if he can even hold his own against a power forward or something like that, all of a sudden you're like, oh, they mean business, because now you don't have to necessarily worry about who would be taking that guy. So
yeah, exactly.
All right, here we go. We got this one. 2020 inbound says, is Tristan Thompson, he asked like a million questions. Good for him, because, you know, if you're looking to get your money's worth, you just put all the questions in one tweet. He says, is Tristan T a legitimate player that can be useful? My answer is yes. I think he's injured, sucks right now, but I think he's the best big man the Celtics have had in years.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a legit player. He's going to add something to the team that they haven't had in a while, which is a really good rebounder. We had Al Horford. He was a big name free agent signing, but that wasn't his game. He wasn't a rebounding chaser or anything like that. I think Thompson's going to be very useful, because he's just going to be a walking double double for us, which is what we've needed for a while.
And then Riley, he says, why am I worried about the East? You had some takes about the East last episode, so why should 2020 inbound be worried about the East?
Well, you got the Bucks, you got the Heat, obviously, you have the Raptors, you have the Sixers. You have the
Nets now too. They proved it to everyone.
You have the Wizards who got better. The Hawks. I mean, it's just
love the Hawks this year. Not love them to, I think they'd be a contender, but I love the Hawks this year personally.
I think Tristan Thompson can be a legitimate player for us, because if you watch Celtics games in recent years, and especially I noticed in the bubble, like when guys like Rob Williams were on the court for us, we weren't giving up offensive rebounds because we had such a big man who could get boards. Our offense became much more efficient, and we'd go on runs, and we just looked so much better. It felt like that'd been a problem for us for years. It's just giving up so many offensive boards.
Yep.
Just get those for us. And
Kanter, when we got Kanter, that was supposed to be like kind of the savior in the reboundings. But the unfortunate thing with Kanter is that he can't do much else. He has a decent post game. He can get some hook shots going and stuff. But like defense, like he was just a liability on the court. So that we just couldn't do that. Great thing about Thompson is that he can get rebounds, points, and he can play good defense. So thank God.
So you know what my theory is on Kanter, and I loved. I thought he.
I like.
Yeah, I had me too, but I have a theory now. Looking back on the time, I think the reason he got so many offensive rebounds or cleaned up layups and whatnot is because of his positioning, like coming off of pick and roll and stuff, was actually like terrible. So he would have like say a Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown come off a pick and roll, and then his guy would go and sort of double Jaylen Brown because Kanter just dives to the basket, meaning all of a sudden there's four guys underneath the hoop. And then, you know, you get two guys contesting Jaylen Brown's layup, for example, and then now there's only one person underneath the hoop that could even get the rebound. And I think that we saw a lot of that from Kanter. That being said, he had so many rebounds where you're like, holy shit, like, how did Kanter get that rebound? Like, what a rebound. But I do think, looking back on it now that he's not on the team, no bias in me at all, I can kind of be like, I think a lot of those rebounds or offensive rebounds may have been caused by the fact that he was just like, you know, going to the hoop, meaning his guy that was covering him was at the hoop, and then the ball's going to fall into his hands. But that's, you know, I'm not going to die on that hill. It's just something that I sort of noticed watching back games and whatnot. All right, we got a trade exception question coming in from Kevin. He says, what's the best use of the TPE, and then what's Kemba's value slash if when he's healthy? I wonder if he subconsciously kind of put Kemba in the same tweet slash question as the trade exception. So what do you guys think the best use of it is? We did talk about it on the last episode, but like I said, we're kind of, you know, reiterating answers here because it's our last preseason episode of the show.
I think the best use is saving it for see what's up with Kemba. But you could also say, I mean, the one position I think the Celtics need to really get is another wing player. I think that's like, if you have to pick like a big man, a guard, or a wing, I'd probably say wing is more needed for this team. Someone that's been, his name's been brought up, and I'm not trying to bring up like hypothetical trades or anything. Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, we talked about him last episode, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, like, he's not like, he might not be the best player that the Celtics could get, but he's someone that fits the team and he fits the timeline. And he's athletic. He can spread the floor a little bit. He can do a little bit of everything. I mean, I'd be totally cool with getting someone like that. That being said, I'd still prefer to wait to see what happens with Kemba. But if it comes down to a point where it's like we can make the trade and Danny Ainge and a team really feel like they need him, then you do that. And with Kemba and his thing, to be quite honest with you, even if he's like healthy, I don't know how much value he has, because the knee injury is a concern, because even if he gets healthy, it can still be a lingering thing. He's getting paid max money. You know, it's very hard to trade max contracts in the NBA. Yeah. So you'd literally have to attach like picks with it. You'd probably get pennies on the return. Like, there's really not much value there. So,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think we should use the trade exception really until we know about Kemba, see when it comes back, and then go from there. Like, you know, if he's healthy, then obviously we go for a guy like Aaron Gordon or someone else. But if he's come back and he's still a little shaky, then possibly use the trade exception and him to go find another point guard.
Yeah.
But just be patient.
Right. Because the thing is, I think this is an interesting year for the Celts because the teams around them got better. They have a major injury in Kemba, and they also have now a couple rookies that really actually could be involved in this team. So this year could be, and I hate to say it, but it could be sort of just like a testing out phase, seeing what's going to stick. I think they're still really going to be really good. But I think that we could learn a lot this season and then go from there rather than being better than assuming anything.
I actually kind of like how you put that, because now that I look at it, you're right. I mean, this is a team where they're going to compete. Like, we won't undermine that. Yep. But as well, they're also going to see, you know, what works and what doesn't. So at the end of the season, you know, if they get kicked, they get defeated in the first round, or it's just an underwhelming season, they might go and make a big move. I think this is the year where they decide whether or not they do that or not. So I actually like that. I agree with you there. They're going to be competitive, but they're also going to see whether or not this is what they believe is the team that's going to bring them to a championship.
For sure. All right, here we go. We only got a couple more. This one is from King. It says, can Tatum be an MVP this season? What do you guys think?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy. I mean, yeah.
He can be. Will he be one? Probably not this season, but we'll see. But, I mean, the numbers we've seen him put up, like, in a month span, if he could just do that consistently for a year, then, you know, he could win MVP.
Not this year. I don't think he can. Could he be considered a dark horse? Sure. I think he would have to do a whole lot to win MVP. I think each year as he's getting closer, like he's like getting more respect, but he's getting closer and closer to becoming like a true MVP candidate. And this year will help him, like that'll get him closer to there. But no, I think there's still too many players, just, not even because of him, like situations too. Like I think there's too many guys ahead of him.
Yeah, I'd give it a year or two.
Riley was like the teacher in school. It's like, can I go to the bathroom? And she's like, I can.
he did finish 11th in MVP voting last year.
I was gonna say I wasn't 100% sure. He did finish like a right outside the top 10. So I mean, he's like getting closer. He's getting there. So
I think that question too, like, and just to topple on what you guys are saying, is like, can he be in the conversation? I think he will be. Mm-hmm. Winning it, probably it, not. Yeah, but
I think also, people that give him a vote, I think he'll get a few votes, but I don't think he'll, not enough.
I think it's more of a like a testament to the people that are winning it, like Giannis or something. It's not necessarily like, oh, Jason Tatum, you're not good, you're nowhere near MVP. It's more or less the guys in the league right now that aren't going anywhere. So
yeah, it's tough to go up against a guy that averages like 30 and 15. you know what I mean? Like it's there's only so much you can do there.
Yeah. All right, here is the last serious question. I think it's a really good one to end off on. Ooh. So Misty Fitz, I think that's how you pronounce that, says, what's the biggest question mark going into the season? Riley, what's yours?
Biggest question mark. Obviously Kemba's knee.
But yeah, I guess we go outside of that because that's
I was going to say, that's probably what I was going to say, but I don't want to sound like a broken record.
Yeah, so what's Riley?
Who's going to step up for us besides Tatum, Brown, and Smart? Like. Yeah. I know Teague is an improvement from Wanamaker. Thompson, same from Cantor. But, like, it seems like without Hayward and then with Kemba injured, we need someone to step up a little more than just, you know, playing well.
Agreed.
Sure. So I'm kind of in agreement with you. You're like, I want to see, you know, who's going to step up besides those main three, right? I'm going to say this. My biggest question is, how much better is Jaylen Brown going to get from last season? I expect him to take another step. But is he actually going to do it? Is he actually going to be a guy that can put up 22, 23 points a game next to a guy that is the true number one? Like, is he going to be able to actually handle that role of, you know, there's no Kemba, there's no Hayward. He is going to be relied on to be the go-to number two guy. Is he able to carry that responsibility? I think so, yes. I think he can. But that is something I'm definitely going to be watching, especially at the beginning of the year, because I think he's going to have a lot to prove there, you know, playmaking, rebounding, all around game. So I think he can do it, but that'll be something for me to watch.
Both of those are spot on. Mine's, I guess I'll take a different approach just so we kind of cover our bases here. And it has more to do with the bench, but a very specific part of the bench / starting lineup, the two Williamses, Grant Williams and Robert Williams. If they do take the leap, Grant Williams can be a guy that can come in, like Dante, you've said, cover 1 through 4, contribute, shoot a little bit better. And then you have, on the other hand, Robert Williams, an absolute spark plug of a big man that can come in and get rebounds, make the athletic play, start being in the right place at the right time. I think those are really, really sneaky, like, holy crap, this team gets so much better if they can just have those sort of utility guys that they can turn to, Right now, they don't. If we want to talk about the bench, they do have the guard in Jeff Teague that can play well off the bench. You know, they do have, they have Nesmith, maybe the wing player. But do they have, and I think that, you know, that that number, that sort of 4-5 position, do they have that guy? Because obviously we'll have Thompson and Tice to mess around with, but I don't know if that's going to be enough. You know, I think you need that sort of, like, it was nice last year to have Cantor to throw around in and have multiple big men, but can Grant Williams and Thompson, or Grant Williams and Robert Williams, who are very unique type players, can they do what they're supposed to do? That's a big one for me.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think for me, if I were to pick one of the two, I'm not just saying this because nobody would talk about Grant Williams, but Robert Williams is definitely someone that needs to make that step this year. Yeah. Because you think about it, he was behind Tice last year. Now he's behind Tice and Thompson. He's really going to have to do a lot of work to, like, carve out good minutes. And, like, we talk about lack of depth and stuff like that. Like, we have solid guys. Like, Robert Williams is our third string center. It's just he needs to play like he can be a one or second string. Like, he can't be playing like a third string center because he's better than that. I am definitely – I'm happy you brought that up, because I'm definitely going to be looking at Robert Williams, because we've talked about this before probably. It's like, I want to keep him around because I think he's special, but it's like – there's only so long you can hold on to someone hoping that they'll become something, and they just don't end up becoming anything. Like, it sucks, but he could turn into a waste of a roster spot if he doesn't prove it. So,
yeah, Riley, you said he was raw last week, which is a great point. He's raw, but that has to turn into something. And so often you do see these players get their head together, but
it's his third year. It's his third year in the NBA. Like, you got to figure it out at some point. A lot of people say the third year, your third year in the league, is when you, like, start to prove whether or not you are actually going to turn into something or you're going to be a bust. So this is a big prove it year for Williams.
100%. All right. We got a couple good ones at the end here just to close off the show. So, no, she says, why is Jason Tatum so immensely handsome?
Riley, you want that one?
That's a good question. You know,
great question.
I just can't wrap my head around it. He's just
good-looking guy.
I don't know if we'll ever get the answer. It's true, though, you know.
I don't know.
And then this one, I don't know if we can answer it, but it's definitely a fact. So here we go. The weight is great.
Yeah.
Why are you guys the most handsome podcast?
All time.
I'm gonna keep that up. I closed that really quickly. I got to look at that a little bit more. But, you know, that's too kind. I didn't even give the name shout out here.
Being around both you guys makes me look 10 times better. So I appreciate
it. Wait, you just call us ugly?
No. You guys make me look better. No. I meant it the other way around. No. You guys,
You just... so badly.
As soon as I said that, I was like, that's not how I wanted to say it. What I was trying to say was nothing. I'm not even going to say it.
So Riley and I are ugly and you look great.
What I was trying to say, it just didn't come out the way I wanted it to.
Shout out to Evan. I didn't even realize this first thing was Evan.
I bring the energy. This is how we're ending the episode, right?
Great ending.
We have two handsome guys, and Evan and Riley, and then there's me.
Hey, this is a fourth party here. It's not just us. Evan could be my burner account. Who knows? he's the one saying that we're handsome, not us.
Oh, that's funny. Great way to close the episode.
Yeah. So, well, if you guys enjoyed that and enjoyed every part of that episode, make sure you do subscribe to the YouTube channel. Things growing. We're putting clips out there now. Loving what we're doing over there. So, I guess we can get to a quick little plug here for our social medias and whatnot. You can follow me on Twitter at evguyboston. You guys want to go ahead?
Oh yeah, you can follow me, Dante, on deck. Anything Celtics NBA content is all there, so check that out.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter, Color Sports. Jason Tatum dropping 38 tonight against the Bucks.
38? That's your prediction?
Yep.
Okay, I like it.
I forgot to do that prediction. What about predictions for Bucks Nets? How do you? I sadly see them going 0-2 to start the season.
Yeah, so I'm going to say the Celtics can go 0-2. I think that they are going to look not good against the Bucks tonight. I think the Bucks is still the best team in the East. I think it's a testament to how good they are. but also of how not ready we are. I expect the Bucks to beat us pretty convincingly. In the Nets, I think Kyrie Irving is going to have one hell of a Christmas against the Celtics. Just, we talked about this, no fans, no booze, no nothing. Like, this guy's been playing pickup basketball for 72 games, and he starts off against the Celtics. He is going to put up numbers on Christmas Day. So, not looking forward to that, but
I do see them competing in my 0-2 prediction. I don't think they're going to get smacked by either team. I could see it happening. Like, that's the fan in me.
I wouldn't say smacked. I think the Bucks are going to beat the Celtics by, like, double digits, like 9, 10, 11 points, something like that. Not a blowout, but I think it'll be a convincing win.
You think the same thing, right, Riley? 0-2, you said?
Yeah.
So, Celtics podcast, rah, rah, there we go.
How you start, how you finish.
There we go, yep. So, again, thank you guys for tuning in. And, you know, this is fun. We're going to finally have some legit Celtics season to start talking about.
All these two beautiful people.
Riley, did he say follow these ugly people? Is that what he just said?
No, come on. You guys are going to hold this against me now. I know you. 100%.
But all right, guys, we'll catch you in the next episode.
Go Celtics.